Welcome back into Sports Call here on Tiger 95.9 FM and the Tiger Communications app. It's J.J. Jackson and Ryan LaVoy sitting down with the voice of the SEC, Paul Finebaum, kind enough to join us here on today's show. Paul, how has this week been for you?
It was really not. It was really calm and quiet until yesterday, guys. and then I felt like a nuclear bomb went off. But I think more than anything, and I don't want to overstate this because you've heard it from everybody, but it is just great to be in a semi-normal situation again. And I think as we turn toward the season, it's going to be even more exciting.
It'd be wise to talk a little bit about the news of yesterday, but we want to talk first about sort of the Auburn Tigers. And it's Auburn Day finally here, and Brian Harsin is making his first appearance at SEC Media Days. And it's just a good event to be here and to be able to hear from him and that sort of thing. I'm curious, though, Paul, with all of your years of working in the Alabama media industry for any new Auburn football head coach, what exactly are they walking into?
Well, he's walking into a very difficult league, and I'm thinking as we talk, it's hard to remember, but I covered Coach Dye's first season, so I do remember a few things. I think this is a really challenging moment for Auburn, and I'll meet Coach Harsin for the first time in about an hour. I'm going to interview him.
Okay.
But I have talked to him three or four times remotely, and I really like him. I mean, he's just such a thoughtful, decent person. And I'll say this if I could now be quoted. You don't have that happen very often anymore in college football. Everybody's like moving down the road. I really like what I've seen of him so far. But yeah, he just has to stay the course. I think he has he's got some really great players on this team. He's got experience that can't be dismissed. I was with a gentleman last night who said, "I really think Auburn is going to surprise people," and he went over Bigsby and Bo Nix and all these other things that you guys talk about every day. Negotiating the schedule, I think, is the biggest challenge. But ultimately, he has to find a comfort zone in recruiting, and I think that is a big challenge from a distance.
Well, and as you know, I mean, the fans can be quite crazy, and they can have very short patience. But when you look at what Brian Harsin is going to attempt to build and the team that he's got now, it's got some good elements to it. But how do you manage those expectations initially when you have a goal in mind, you have a roster that is pretty competent, but you know that you're changing a whole lot about the program?
Well, I think you have to be patient to a degree, but at some point, I remember Coach Dye's first season. There was a game against Mississippi State, and Auburn lost the game, but they nearly pulled it out. And at that moment, Dye said afterwards, he said, it was the turning point. You knew then these guys, there was a different feeling. And I think at some point this season, fans have to see something to believe in. I don't expect a great year. Now again, Gus Malzahn had a really good record. He got fired. Now, why did he get fired? Because the recruiting was slipping and the trajectory of the program was not keeping up. I mean, I hear people say all the time, Nick Saban got another one. Nick Saban, I mean, nobody did better than Gus Malzahn. So that's really not true. People get tired of you after a while. It's common sense, whether you're a talk show host or a football coach. And Auburn's culture is very difficult. You guys live it. I mean, you went through the coaching search, and that's good. I mean, you got a passion. I mean, Auburn was the first beat I covered when I rolled into Birmingham, and I said, "Man, these guys take football seriously." and I thought I'd come from Tennessee, but I just think it will be a little bit of a process for Coach Harsin, and then at some point you have to start knocking off the teams that matter the most, and everyone knows that's Alabama, LSU, and Georgia.
Paul Feinbaum is joining us here on Sports Call. As many of our listeners are well aware of the fact, his show, the Paul Feinbaum Show, airs on our sister station within the company in the Auburn and Opelika area on FM Talk 93.9. You mentioned getting a chance to actually meet Coach Harsin an hour from now and speak with him and that sort of thing. What questions do you still have for him ahead of this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Pretty basic stuff. I mean, I want to just know, you know, how what his impressions have been so far. I mean, we will have, by the time we come on the air, I mean, we'll pretty much have heard him break down the season. So I'll stay away from that. But I'm interested in his philosophy because it's different.
And sure.
It's, you know, recruiting philosophy, coaching philosophy. I think if there is a strength, and this is a familiar subject, but from somebody who doesn't talk about Auburn every day, he used to, by the way, It's his coaching staff, and you know, you can pick and choose and make a coaching staff look good, but you cannot undervalue the experience in the SEC that his coaching staff has. And I think if he had brought the whole staff from Boise, I'd be really concerned because I don't care. I remember Coach Dye, who I relied on for everything, and missed dearly to this day. When we would be talking about a coach somewhere else, he'd say, "Well, he doesn't understand the SEC." and what does that mean? That means a little different than it is now, but that means hard-nosed football, you know, tough defense, which there's no such thing anymore. But you know, Derek Mason and Mike Bobo understand the SEC, so I think that's a tremendous advantage for Brian Harsin.
Let's talk a little bit about the bombshell that did drop yesterday about Oklahoma and Texas having interest in joining the SEC. Let's start off with this. Why do they want to leave the Big 12?
Because the Big 12 is a severely challenged conference. And why is it challenged? They don't have a conference network. And some people don't care for these conference networks, and I know I work at one. And yeah, everything can be annoying no matter where you work, but remember these things pump million, I would say rough estimate, $40 to $50 million a year into every school. Now, for Auburn, for instance, that $40 or $50 million, where does it go? It supports equestrian. It supports volleyball, softball, sports that don't have the revenue stream that basketball and football do. So they're important. So we're talking about branding. The Big 12 is. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've been on a network over the last couple of years and Oklahoma loses a game. Big 12's out of CFP. I mean, just plug it in.
Yeah.
They don't want to be out of it. In the SEC, you're not going to be out of it.
So if these two teams, which are two of the most prestigious programs in the country, join this league, what would need to be done with the scheduling format?
Well, clearly – You have to add a conference game. This is just my opinion. Nobody has told me anything. Without nine games, you'll never see some of these schools. You either realign. I've heard two different, or you just blow it up altogether. And one thing's for sure, Auburn will not be in the West any longer. I mean, I think we can guarantee that. Will there be an East or a West? I don't know. But I think that would be the biggest change.
Paul Feinbaum's joining us here on the show. We'll let you go with this. You obviously have a very good relationship over the years with Charles Barkley. I need to know some your best Charles Barkley story. We've seen his golf game recently here and all these big-time matches he's wanting to play in and that sort of thing. When we say Charles Barkley, what comes to mind?
I'll tell you what means the most, and I've known him since high school. We've had the opportunity to be on a golf course many times. I've been out with him to all hours of the night. But one story that, to me, defines Charles Barkley, and I happened to be in town a couple of years ago. I just come over here from Atlanta, and I heard that his mother had died. And I knew his family pretty well, his grandmother and his mother. And a friend of mine and I, we went to the funeral, and that was 6 years ago. And when I was last with Charles right before COVID, we were together at Alan Green's house. He invited the media over for dinner. Charles mentioned it that he said he thanked me, and I'm not. This is not about me. This is about Charles. he said, I can't tell you how much that still means to me. And that, I mean, just think about all the encounters we've had in Phoenix and
right.
Philadelphia, Auburn. And it just shows you that he's such a good and decent person. And I know that's not the bombastic story, this is a genuine guy. I've seen him help so many people. I've seen him personally pick up tabs for high school graduation. I've seen him make calls for people, do things for people. And he is so remarkable because I will say this in conclusion. He was a guy that let me close with this. This is how I met Charles Barkley. I was covering an Auburn basketball game in Houston, Texas in 1982. They were playing the famous Fly Slammer Jamma team that went to the Final Four. And I was on the same floor with the Auburn basketball program. And at 11:30 at night after the game, I got a knock on the door. Like, I don't know anybody in Houston. And it was a Domino's pizza delivery guy. I said, okay, I didn't order a pizza. He said, oh. And all of a sudden, door opens. It's Barkley. And it was like two or three pizzas. And I'm like, he looked at me and goes, that's my pizza. You know, because, and to think about that guy right there who was overweight, who didn't have any discipline, who was going to ruin his career if he wasn't careful. I mean, Charles Barkley, you guys probably have heard this, he got cut from the 1984 Olympic team because he didn't practice, he was overweight, and Bobby Knight thought he couldn't handle it. I mean, think about that. This is one of the greatest basketball players of all time. But I think about the story that I told you about his mom, versus the first time I saw him ordering pizza after a game.
The growth of someone, that's awesome. It's Paul Finebaum. He's joining us here on Sports Call in the Auburn and Opelika area. Paul, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
This is Sports Call at SEC Media Days.